Big change ahead for the roads you may drive on. We'll look at the impact. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. An influential report card on U.S. infrastructure is out, including the possibly rocky roads and bridges you may be using right now. The grade is D+. It comes from the American Society of Civil Engineers, which gave the same lousy grade in its report 4 years ago. There is much discussion in Washington about upgrading infrastructure. Let's talk about the potential economic impact with our regular guest, Diane Swank at DS Economics. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So we should say at the front, this report card comes from civil engineers, as in folks who build roads and bridges and pipelines. So you don't expect straight A's because then we'd basically be out of business. But it is still striking to see America stuck on a D+. Diane, when we have infrastructure that a lot of people agree is not adequate, what does that do to our economic growth potential?
Well, it's one of the key issues is infrastructure spending is one of the few things that we get returns from. And actually, at these low interest rates, it could set a foundation for higher productivity growth, lower commute costs. That helps everyone from producers to consumers and set the stage for a better potential growth rate going forward, which we found actually everything else is moving in the other direction. So something that could enhance that is something we really want to do.
Now, we're at this moment where there is some bipartisan agreement that it is a good idea to build up our roads and bridges and such, but there's not agreement on the details of how to do that. What might an infrastructure plan that could actually happen look like?
Well, I just got back from Washington, and that's what's really interesting is most of the focus is on how do we leverage private-public partnerships, and that sounds great in theory. In reality, it means many of the places we need infrastructure most, you know, you can't put a toll roll down there for someone in the private sector to gain the money from that, nor enough tax credits that they can reap the benefits of it. So it means limiting infrastructure to much smaller projects and sort of cherry-picking only those where you can generate revenues immediately rather than where we really need it, which is repairs and upgrades to existing infrastructure that would boost our long-term economic potential.
What kind of impact could we see out of an infrastructure plan on the job market?
One thing I have found is that home builders are the only ones who don't want an infrastructure project right now because they're already running out of construction workers. They are already finding very tight labor markets and unable to build the less expensive homes where people are now demanding housing. That said, I think there is an interesting issue over the longer haul is by the time these things actually get planned and kick in, it could be happening at a time we need it most because we can't time the next recession. And frankly, to have infrastructure that's in the pipeline that might kick in when things are weaker wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Okay, Diane Swank, thanks as always.
Thank you.
The two men targeted in the deadly February shooting near Kansas City were from India, and the attack is under investigation as a hate crime. Both men worked for Garmin, maker of popular navigation products. The crime is supercharging an already tense situation in a community where many tech workers are immigrants. KCUR's Peggy Lowe is there with this story on people and companies in a state of fear.
Mira Midvani is a Kansas City immigration attorney. She's been flooded with calls since President Trump was elected. The one that sticks in her mind came a couple days before the shootings in Olathe, Kansas. The caller was an Indian national who works as an engineer. He said he's scared for his family and wants to move back to India.
They don't see a future here. And then 2 days later, there was a shooting that put it in a completely horrible context.
Srinivas Kuchibotla was killed and his friend Alok Madasani wounded. Kevin Truman is dean of the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Computing and Engineering. He recruits in India and says parents and students for a while now have been concerned about America's reputation as a violent place.
Sometimes they actually still think we're kind of the wild, wild west, I think.
More than a quarter of the school's nearly 1,700 students are Indian. But this semester, the school's enrollment is down about 50 foreign students, around 3%.
Clearly, the political climate in the United States right now has cost us some international students.
Companies are also concerned about keeping workers safe. Pramata, a company that analyzes customer data for big businesses, opened a Kansas City office a year ago.
My name is Pruffel Saklani. It's fairly obvious that, you know, I don't come from Northern European ancestry. I'm very brown, okay?
Saklani is Pramata's CEO. He's an Indian immigrant and a U.S. citizen.
Whenever a shooting occurs in our country and the people involved are similar to you in some way, it's very rattling.
Pramada hasn't had problems recruiting so far. Nationally, tech groups say the new atmosphere and potential changes to visa programs add to uncertainty for foreign workers and the companies that hire them. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And finally, stocks are on a roll since the election, but there are signs people who know companies best have doubts that shares can go much higher. The Wall Street Journal reports on data showing corporate execs, insiders, aren't buying their own company's stock. Insider buying is at its lowest level since 1988. It is the newest data point to cast doubt on just how much gas this long bull market has left. Today, March 9th, is basically the bull market's birthday. The S&P 500 closed at its bottom on this day in 2009. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.